Hey, welcome to the Night Church Podcast. My name is Philip, and I am so excited for what you're about to listen to. These are sermons and presentations by young adults and for young adults. If you're visiting in the area, we hope that you join us for Night Church on Friday nights. Or if you're a regular here in Loma Linda, I hope that you'll share this sermon with someone that you love and care about. Now, for the sermon.
But friends, as these pictures continue, I'm going to actually introduce our first testimony speaker, someone that I know very well, my very own brother, Kevin Lynn. And I've known him since I was born, so that's pretty cool. But something fun that people don't know about Kevin is that he's an actor out in LA. He's been on shows like Grey's Anatomy and Good Trouble on Hulu, I think. Yep, okay. But friends, thank you so much for being here, and we're so excited for you to hear the testimonies of lives that have walked and journeyed with God.
Hello. Oh, it's on. Hi. Hi. Thank you, Kelly. So Kelly asked me to share a testimony of mine, and I have a lot. She asked, hey, when was a time that God showed up in your life? And I'm like, countless. A lot of times have been ugly, sad, a handful of happy ones here and there. But I feel like I'm going to share kind of a fun story of mine today. And before I begin, I do want to point out, you guys all know Kelly as Pastor Kelly. And I know her as my sister, obviously. And I will say the first thought that I had of God showing up in my life was before I even existed, and he gave me a sister like Kelly. Now, you guys see Kelly as like a, you know, an incredible person, doing all these things, and I'm sure if you're a friend, you know how great of a friend she is. But I can't tell you what a blessing it is to have her as a sister. So that's my number one testimony at the moment, is having a sister like that. But as she did mention, so I came to LA 8-9 years ago. I graduated school at the University of Washington, and with an English literature degree, which is great. And I ended up actually working in finance for a little bit, and I hated it. And it was something that I didn't feel like I was called to do. It was one of those stereotypical soul-sucking jobs where the money was good and the job was legitimately, you know, good. You climb the corporate ladder, sell people things, and you just make a lot of money. And it really, I hated it so much. And so at some point in my life, I've been modeling since high school for fun. It's not something I like looked to go into, but my buddy, one of my best friends, was doing it at the time, and he said that you could make like $2,000-$3,000 for a photo shoot. I was like, that's a lot of money, you know, and I was a kid back then. So I went into one of the two agencies in Seattle, Hefner and I think SMG. They're really the only two that operate up there, for fun, just to see, you know, what would happen. And I got cast, I think, on the spot to do like this Adidas commercial in Oregon. And so I immediately, after going in, I got a job before he actually did. And I went, and they paid me like $2,000. They flew me down to Oregon, put me up in a hotel. I like got up early in the morning the next day, went to some set. They put me in some clothes, and I had to like run a little bit. And they took my pictures, and they gave me like a lot of money. And I was like, this is so cool. This was so much fun. I got to go somewhere. I got to eat free food. I stayed at a nice hotel. If there's any world where I could just do this, like, that would be awesome. So after I left / got fired from my finance job, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And up to that point, I had I'd done some modeling. I've done modeling enough where I started doing some commercials. And so it was a little more involved. Like, rather than just standing there and taking a picture, like, you had a little script. You had maybe a little action that you were doing, you know? And one of the ones that really I thought was a lot of fun was, I saw Richard Sherman from the Seattle Seahawks at the time. It was a Nike commercial. Loved it even more. So I was like, I want to do this. What if I just went to Hollywood and just tried it out? And it didn't take me long to reach this decision, surprisingly. I think I definitely have the type of personality to like take high risks and do things that maybe aren't the smartest decision but seem fun. So I just went for it, packed my car with all my stuff, had no plan, no relationships, stayed at my ex-girlfriend's cousin's place, who I'd never met, for free. An agreement that we made before I left, I was like, are you sure? I don't have a job, I don't have anything. She's like, yeah, it's fine. I actually ended up staying there 2 months before I left and found a job and got my own apartment. Fast forward maybe 2-3 years after that, I hadn't made it yet as an actor. But I was having a lot of fun. I was going to acting class. I was getting, a new community in LA, in like the LA acting like community, and all the stereotypes that might pop up with that kind of, lifestyle are all true. And I was kind of living that life, but I was having fun, but I wasn't making it. And I was kind of struggling a lot too. So at that time I happened to be attending the Chinese SDA church in Los Angeles, which is actually the church that I kind of grew up in as a baby before we moved away up to Seattle. And I don't really know why, but at some point I started doing sermons for the church. And through that, there was a congregation member that really liked the sermons I did. And at the time, they also needed to fill an assistant pastor role for the church. So they offered me the role to work as an assistant pastor, and this congregation member was going to pay for my tuition to get my MDiv. So I was like, okay, clearly, God, this is like a sign for me to go into ministry. My grandpa was in ministry. I mean, both my sisters are in ministry. I feel like this makes a lot of sense. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to quit acting. I'm going to do this. I prayed about it. That week, I think it was 2 days later, I got this audition for a Grey's Anatomy role. And in that audition, I played this character whose name is David, which is my middle name, my grandpa's name, who's a pastor. And in the audition, he talked about Bible verses. It was like talking about James and talking about Paul or something. And I was like, I asked God. I'm the type when I pray, I look for signs. Like, I'm like, God, do this thing. And then I'm like, I wait. I'm like, where is the thing that's going to come? Like, I want the carpet to be dry with the dew, whatever. Like, I want that sign. And so I took this immediately. I was like, oh, this is clearly, okay, if I get this role, like, God's telling me to be an actor, right, guys? Like, that's pretty clear. So I went out for this role. I think it was the next day or 2 days after that, I got the role to be on Grey's Anatomy, which is, at the time, it was a huge deal for me. It was my first time on TV. It was, a big show. Everybody knows Grey's Anatomy. You can ask me after and what I did, and I won't tell you the episode, but if I explain to you my character, you're like, oh, you're that guy, like, I remember. So that was a moment for me where God was very, to me, was very clear, like, this is kind of the path that you should be on. Now, I haven't made it as an actor. Like, I'm not working only as an actor. I still have to get another job. I'm still auditioning here and there. I'm kind of at the cusp of getting a bigger role, but I'm not. And it's been years now. This was probably 6-7 years ago at this point. So this testimony isn't really one where, like, God shows up, my dreams came true, and I'm here, and it's amazing. But God did show up in that moment, and he continues to show up in my life now. And over those years, I think it was 2 years after that, I had a couple more things of success. I got invited to NBC for like a shorts fest that I won. I got cast in an indie film, and then I did a couple episodes in another show. And I was seeing this progression of it was almost every year. In fact, it was almost every October where something good was happening. I got cast in Grey's Anatomy in October. I got the NBC thing in October the next year. The next year after that, I got cast in an indie film in October. So I was like, okay, God, every October something good's gonna happen, right? And then the next year after that, it stopped. And then it continued to not, nothing was happening, for the next several years. And in fact, after that, it was probably the three hardest years of my life. And so what I kind of am, the point that I'm at now with God and how I see him working in my life is, there, you know, I look back and I realize I was very unprepared for anything more than what I received. And I also realize now, when God shows up, a lot of the times he doesn't show up to give you what you're asking for. He shows up to give you what you need. And I think over the years I've learned what I need is not success in my acting. It's to go through a lot of things to really work on myself and to really actually need him more. And so that's the point I'm at right now. I'm learning a lot. I'm building a community here. I would say that the retreat was a huge blessing. I did not want to go, but I was convinced, and I'm really glad I did. And so, that's kind of where I'm at now. I am still pursuing acting, but I'm also at a point where I'm really open to what God has for me, regardless of what it is. And now I'm waiting more than ever for him to show up in my life in every opportunity. And my time is up. And that's it. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Well, right now, I want you to actually take a little bit of a moment to ponder in your life, God, when did you show up in my life? When was a moment I saw the hand of God just kind of reveal itself? For some of you, maybe it's like, man, I'm still waiting for that. I'm not sure. But we want to make tonight a little bit interactive as well. And so we're going to take about 3 to 4 minutes. I want you to turn to 2 or 3 people around you. And I want you to take a moment with those around you and just share a moment when you felt like God showed up in your life, that God did something in your life. And while you do that, I want to encourage you, after each one of you kind of goes around and shares, it's going to just take a minute for each one of you. Don't take like the whole time and everyone else kind of stares. I didn't get to say anything. So just about a minute, just something short. And then one of you in that group, just pray over each one of you together, okay? So just one person pray over that little group time. I'm going to actually share in the camera while you're all doing this right now. So go ahead and do that right now. I'm going to share with our viewing audience a time when God showed up in my life. So go ahead and break up and do that right now. Those of you watching online, I just want you to know as well that God shows up in your life too. And so take some time right now to consider how God has done that. What are some ways in which the Lord stepped in and you're just like, Lord, I couldn't believe you did this, or I couldn't believe that you didn't do this. Sometimes when we think about testimonies, we think of the good things, but actually a testimony is really a journey of our faith kind of attached to God in the midst of a time of struggle as well. And just holding on. Kevin's coming up here and he's saying, hey, this was wonderful, but I'm still holding on to you, Lord. And that is a testimony. You know, some people could go through something, then they just give up. I remember there was a moment in our family's life here, just maybe it was about a few years ago, and my mom, dad, brother and sister, my wife, our kids, we'd gone to the beach, and it was a great time. We were having fun. And my dad was holding our daughter, and they were playing in the water. And all of a sudden, my dad says, oh, Philip, my wallet, it's gone. Sure enough, his wallet had fallen out. We immediately saw where it fell. But what fell out as well was several of his credit cards and his insurance policy for the car that they needed to go back home to. And I just said, oh, Lord, please help us. And within a moment, boom, I'm pulling out one of the credit cards. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I say, God, but we're not done yet. There's still some things missing. And so I prayed, Lord, give us everything that we lost. And so sure enough, another thing that we had lost, one of his other cards comes up. It was his driver's license. Thank you, Lord. And I said, Dad, was there anything else that you have missing? He said, I think that's it, Philip. And then he looks again, he says, but wait, my insurance card. And I prayed again. I said, God, the miracle isn't done yet. Please, Lord, help us find that card. And it was so funny, looking through this huge tidal water that was coming. It was crashing on us. This is in Laguna Beach, and so the waves are really heavy where we were at Castle Rock Beach. And it had ripped his insurance card, and I found a half of it. And I said, Lord, this is really nice, but it isn't the whole thing. please help us find the other half. And so I prayed that prayer, and I opened my eyes, and I started looking through the water, and I found the other half. And my dad said, Philip, you sure had a good prayer, and you were persistent. Reminds me of that Bible verse and the promise of the woman who goes before the king over and over, persistent in her prayer. You know, that's a beautiful thing. The king ends up granting her wish. There is an aspect of needing that persistence in prayer, isn't there? When you just kind of have to keep saying, God, this is what I need. I need to keep showing up. And so you keep praying. But it's hard when you sense that the Lord didn't answer your prayer in the way that you wanted, the way that you were hoping. Someone to get well, you to land a job, a relationship to hold on and not end, and all kinds of things. And how do you navigate that through the conflict that occurs when it doesn't work out? Well, that's one of those moments where we still draw near and closer to Christ. And our testimony in that period is, Lord, I'm just holding on. And that might be you tonight. Maybe it's just a moment where you're just saying, God, I'm just holding on. I'm just holding on to you. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. You didn't show up the way I thought you should have, but I'm trusting you, Lord, that you will show up in the way that I need. Might not be how I want, but it is maybe how I might need. And then there's that other part of the where we just have to say, God, I don't understand this on this side of heaven, but I'm hoping you'll help me when we get there one day. Because sometimes the death, the loss, those things don't make sense. And doesn't mean that God brought it about. Sometimes we blame God for unanswered prayers and say that he caused it. The reality is, he doesn't always do that. So let's go back to what we're doing here now. All right, friends, I'm going to say a prayer for us as we continue. And so would you bow your heads with me now? If you haven't prayed yet, I'm going to pray over you right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for my friends. Here, every single one of us has a testimony, the ways God shows up in our life. Jesus, we pray that we would be found faithful when you come. Not faithful because we always did the right thing, but found faithful because we held on to the one who is greater and more faithful, Jesus. And so, Lord, tonight we want to just thank you for how you've shown up in our lives and how you will continue to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to invite a good friend of mine, Edwin Sanchez, up on the stage. He is one of our media team here at the church. He works for the Lord. And the great thing is that I got to know Edwin actually a little bit while he was recording our Sabbath school experience. And after one of those shootings, I was like, Edwin, man, I don't really know you. And we sat down at the table in the media house, and he shared his whole testimony. And I was just so blessed. One time we're going to give you the whole time and you'll be able to share the whole thing. But we just want to hear just a little bit, Edwin, what God has done in your life through media and video.
Hey, church. Oh, loud. Hope you guys are well. I'm honored to be here to speak to you all and sharing my testimony a little bit. I was a little hesitant about doing this because I'm not much of a public speaker. I actually spend most of my time behind a screen. And so if this looks bad, you know, Pauline, erase it completely. But yeah, so I kind of want to just start. I know I don't have the most time in the world, but I want to start my testimony basically when I was trying to balance my walk with God and my career. So my career at the time, I was a rap music video artist. I was working with like pretty notable rap music artists in the game. And it was cool. Like, I had built this, like, crazy dream, and I started getting into positions that I never thought I would be able to ever get into. And it was going good. I thought I was balancing it correctly up until my pastor ended up messaging me. And he's like, hey, I want you to come over to my house. We'll have coffee. I want to talk to you about something. And at first, I was just like, yeah, he's my friend. Before him becoming my pastor, he was my good friend. So I was like, I didn't think too much of it. I ended up going, and he told me, he dropped the bomb on me. He's like, hey, like, I'm seeing what you're posting online. A lot of the videos, it's a little alarming. Like, and just as your friend and as your pastor, I feel like those posts don't align with who I think you are, who God is, and who we are as a church. And I felt like, you know, at that moment, I was just infuriated. But like, he was my friend, so I was like, I'm not going to call him out or say anything, really. I was just like, out of respect, I'm in your home, I'm not going to say anything. And I was like, okay. And on the drive home, I'm just like, how dare he, you know? This is like something I built, I worked from the ground up, and it's something that I, you know, this is my dream, you know? How could you possibly, it felt like he was trying to take it away from me. And it's up until I let those emotions and just like kind of ruminate in my heart, in my mind, that I realized he was right. You know, a lot of these rap artists were talking about violence, drugs, alcohol, everything that was completely opposite of what I was learning on Sabbath morning, you know? And so I prayed about it. I was like, God, if this is not of you, I mean, it's not bringing you any kind of glory, I don't want it. And so I quit it. And that wasn't the hard part. I think the next few months were the hard part, the refining process that God was going to take me through. Because I was like, well, I'll just find another job, easy. Everybody was saying no. You know, you can only, I didn't really have a professional resume in like Hollywood and all those, like that music video world. Like, it's about who you know. It's not about what you know. And so it's like, I couldn't go to Burger King and be like, you know, I worked with Usher or something. Like, that just wasn't going to happen. You know, they're like, we don't care. Like, can you do this? And so, it was just hard because I was starting to dip into my savings and I was running out of money. And I was like, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm so far out now that, like, I can't go back. Like, I've already, like, cut off my connections with the people that I used to work with. And, you know, I left thousands of dollars on the table. And it was just like, I just felt, it was just so demoralizing because at this moment, I felt like I had everything. I felt like I had the world. And then now I was just no one, you know? And, you know, I was like, well, what can I do for now? And I started trying to find my purpose in the church. I started serving more. I started singing for my church. I started doing the coffee bar at my church. And then the one that got to me the most was I started doing philanthropy work with my church. We host like a shelter that feeds and clothes the less fortunate in Riverside. And I fell in love with that. It became my new passion, helping others. And I kind of fell in love with it so much that my pastor saw it. And he's like, hey, I haven't told the church yet, but I'm planning a missions trip to Peru. And I really want to sponsor your trip. I see the heart you have. And I feel like it would be really cool to see you come and you know, we'll all be out there together. And I obviously, it's like, absolutely. I had this new passion, and I always had a dream of traveling the world, so I was like, perfect. And so as I was gearing up, getting ready to go, still have no job, by the way. I'm like just running on faith at this point. My good friend, he works here at Loma Linda, not the church, but like the university. He does like accounts, and he stumbled upon an email. It was like the head director of the media team at the university. And he said, you should email him. Like, I found this email, you should email him. And just, it wasn't even a position, a job or anything. He said, just email him, tell him that you're looking for work. And I was like, that sounds not smart. Like, you know, Burger King told me no. But, you know, I was like, I'm going to do it. But I don't even know what to say. He's like, just write this. And he wrote a whole email for me. I was like, all right, bet. I put my name on it, sent it out, didn't think about it because Peru was coming up. You know, this thing had everything. Like, I was like, God, I'm not even worried about anything. I know you got it. And so we're getting ready to go to Peru, and we're in Peru now, actually, and we're there for a few weeks. And at a specific point, we're going up the Amazon River in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. And as you could probably, like, guess, there's probably no service, and there wasn't out there. But by, like, a miracle of God, there's, like, this streamlined spotlight of service that comes out of nowhere. In the middle of the Amazon, as we're traveling up the river in this, like, little rinky-dink boat, you know, I just get the notification, and I was like, what in the world? I read it, and it's a director for Loma Linda University, and he's like, hey, I don't know if you're still interested. I know it's been a few months, but if you are willing, you know, we'd love to have you come shadow. And, you know, it's not a job offer, but it's like, you know, meet the team, whatever. And I was like, absolutely. I just had enough service to receive the email, read it and respond, and then I lost service for like the rest of the trip. And, you know, I got home. Oh, and that was the cool part, because the position started the day I got home. Like literally the moment I landed the following day, I would have started. And yeah, that moment led to this moment. You know, I kind of just started working through Loma Linda, and I'm here now. And I guess the last thing, because I know I'm running out of time, if I could just leave you guys with anything, it's that if you are in a tough season in your life and you feel like you don't know what you're doing, what's going on, keep on trusting in God. And know that it's going to be okay. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and everything else should be added unto you. So understand that it will work out, you know, no matter what. You guys got it? Love you guys.
Wow, friends, that is an amazing story, and I wish we could hear more of it. So, Edwin, we'll definitely have to have you back. But listening to testimonies really draws my heart, and I hope that you're thinking of the testimony of where God has brought you in your life to where you are today, to you sitting in the chair of where you are. Lance, I see you nodding. I know you've got a story, too. And so if you feel in the next moment after we talk with Kelsey for a little bit, there's going to be some time to just open up the floor to anyone who would like to share 1 to 2 minutes of where you have seen God in your life. I've asked a couple people already, so if Aubrielle and Francelli, if Aubrielle could just sit in the front so that we have 2 people ready to go right when this finishes. But if anyone else would like to share where you've seen God in your life, just come up here, and I would love to ask you that question as I'm about to ask Kelsey. But before I do so, we're going to read 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. It says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are 3 that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the 3 are in agreement. We accept human testimony. But God's testimony is greater, because it is a testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony and God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So, Kelsey, my question for you, hello, is where have you seen God in your life, or how do you know that God is working in your life?
Hello, everyone. Hello. Okay, I wish, I'm like you, Edwin. I don't like being in front here. I was kind of forced. I'm just kidding. I'm not forced, but there's so many things.
You've been called by God to be here.
Yes, amen. There's so many things in my life. I feel like my whole life is a living proof that God is real and that God takes care of you, each and every one of us. Where do I start? Dang. First of all, I think that this is going to sound crazy, maybe not, but God can literally, he has the power to take my life anytime right now, but he has literally given me a chance every day to wake up and breathe and be alive. So that's a blessing itself. And I can literally feel that God has a purpose for me. And there's a reason why me and every one of you guys are still alive right now. Mm. So there's one. Oh, my gosh, I'm so nervous.
You're doing great, Kelsey.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. My heart is beating. Okay. I'm going to put my hand here. All right. Here you go.
You're doing so good, Kelsey.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm taking notes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to share this. I wasn't actually planning to share this. Oh, see? Did you guys hear that? Okay. I wasn't planning to talk about this, but I'm going to just be vulnerable with you guys today.
Yes.
The past year, the beginning of the year, I have been going through the worst. My voice is going to shake because I'm nervous, okay? But I see God through every single one of my friends here in Praxis. I'm here alone. If you guys didn't know, I have no family here whatsoever. Oh my gosh. But I literally see God working and helping me out through my friends. Here's an example. There's a moment where I literally have no money, okay? Some of you guys, some of my close friends here, or whoever like follows me on Instagram, knows that I was gonna open a store. That didn't go through very well because I was making bad decisions. I was prioritizing the wrong things. I was making bad decisions pretty much. But it came to the point that I really didn't have money, you guys. It was so bad. I moved out. Like, I was just in the lowest place ever my whole life. Mm. Here's where I see God came through. Mm. Wow, I'm starting to be comfortable right now. There's a moment, a week, where I literally did not have food, you guys. Rice and eggs. Nothing wrong with that. But that's all I had. That's all I had to eat. And it's the best, dude. That's true. But then after a while, it gets tiring. But you know what? That's fine. I'm not going to talk about you right now. This is where Kelly, randomly, he's just like, hey, I have, like, groceries I bought for you. And I was like, are you kidding me? I literally didn't have money for, like, gas. I didn't have money for food. I didn't have money for anything, literally. My bank account was negative. A lot of people probably don't see this because people are like, oh, my gosh, Kelsey's in business. Kelsey's da-da-da-da. Yes, I am, but I was making bad decisions. But guess what? God kept on taking care of me. Literally from the food, my friend Duda would like help me out with like gas money. I mean, my friend Steph would like just like, I have so many friends out here, Jaleen. Like, I mean, I wish I can just like so many people. God literally used my community to help me out, and that is such a blessing. There's so many more that I can share with you guys, but the way God took care of me is incredible.
Absolutely.
I could have went homeless, you guys. I can't believe I'm actually saying this like right now on stage because it's so prideful for me to like say like, oh, I'm in business. I'm about to open a store. Like, I even posted on Instagram. I'm sure some of you guys follow me on Instagram. I was like, I'm opening a store. Yeah, I had so much like pride on that, but I made stupid decisions and now I'm like trying to like hide it. But you know what? Here you go. This is my life. This is what's really happening. And
glory be to God. Amazing.
So, yeah, God is pulling. There's a shirt that I bought. Actually, I wish I wore it today, but I haven't done laundry. But this shirt, I have a picture. If you want the link, I don't actually know the business, but it's a Christian business. There's a shirt that says, "When it all fell through, God came through." Mm-hmm. And that's literally my whole life since So.
Amen.
I mean, I could share more. We can talk in person because I'd rather not talk too much about my personal stuff, but I will say, kind of similar to what Edwin said, like, if you are going through something, just know that God is taking care of you. Because God took care of me. And I know God is taking care of you. And he's working on something. How do you say it? Like, in the background? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, perfect. Just wait on him. Pray. Have faith. When things are going bad, by the way, when things are going bad, that's when you, as weird as it sounds, you should be happy and excited because that is actually when your faith and that is when you can get closer to God.
Yeah.
When things are actually like rough.
Your faith can grow.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's where I'm at right now. And right now, just a little update. I know a lot of you guys are like, what happened to the store? Well, I don't know. So I'm going to just, you know, my name is on it, but I'm trying to see what God has in store for me because I think I was prioritizing on what I wanted, not what God wanted. And so, yeah, anyway.
Thank you.
That's that.
Big round of applause, Kelsey. Thank you so much for you are so loved. Can I take your mic, though?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Hey, I hope you've really enjoyed the first part of this sermon. These sort of productions do require some financial giving, and so if you'd like to take part in reaching more young adults across North America and even the world, would you consider giving on praxisministry.org? And there you can sign up and select Praxis Young Adults to be part of our giving campaign. Hope you enjoy the rest of this sermon.
Friends, if you feel compelled or you have something on your heart that you want to share, I encourage you to come and sit next to Pastor Phil, and then you'll be, Pastor Phil's raising his hand. Come up and share 1 to 2 minutes of what or how God has showed up in your life. I'm going to invite my friend Francelli to come up right now. And we're going to put 2 minutes on the clock. And we bonded over the Praxis retreat, and she has an incredible story. So, Francelli.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Very last minute.
I know. I asked her when she was walking in.
Yeah.
So, where have you seen God work in your life, or how do you know God is working in your life?
I've always seen God working in my life since I was a child. And, like, I grew up in a Christian household, but I was born with microsoma, which is, some of you health experts here, it just means that I was born with an underdeveloped jaw and, like, no ear, right ear, so I was literally partially deaf. And so over the years here at Loma Linda University, which I love, I was under the care of the craniofacial team, and I had over 18 reconstructive surgeries.
Wow.
From like jaw surgeries, ear reconstruction. I even have a Baha cochlear implant. So that helps me to hear. So that was kind of something that I bond over with Kelly. We had a God wink moment at the retreat. And growing up with that, it's kind of hard. Like, why? Like, I questioned myself a lot. Yeah. Like, why was I born this way? Like, my parents were in church. They were serving in church. I was like, I'm a good person. And then, like, also just being a girl, like, growing up in this time and age, it's just hard. And I remember when I was, like, a teenager at one point, that's when I actually decided to get baptized. I came across this Bible verse, John 9. Hold on. It's John 9, verse 1 to 3, which talks about Jesus' ministry. And it says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so the work of God might be displayed in his life. So I took that as a sign that, you know, everything happens for a reason, and God works in mysterious ways. He wants us. And I've actually used that to motivate me for my current career, that I'm pursuing my doctorate in public health, and specifically advocating for people with disabilities, specifically people with hearing disabilities, and just especially for women, because they don't really get that much recognition. Also, throughout that time, so that has been like my foundation. Now, recently, I've been going through a lot as well with my family. Both my parents ended up in the ICU during the holidays. And so I'm the only child, and I am the only one here. Like, they rely on me on everything. So I was really struggling. Like, I was about to lose them. And they were on the point where my mom was at the point where she was on a respirator and she had to be intubed. And I kept on asking, like, I was like, God, why is this happening? Like, it's too much for me. I don't know what to do. Like, and then, again, that verse came to me, and it's like, okay, this is happening because so the work of God can be displayed through them and through your lives. And I was like, okay, all right, it is your will. And I was like, so I just want to give a great thank you to all the healthcare workers here and everyone who's pursuing that calling, because really that's God's like call for you guys, and thank you for that. And I know I'm running out of time. Sorry. So Yeah, thankfully my mom was able to get out of the ICU, but now she's on oxygen 24/7. My dad recently got admitted to the hospital last Friday here at Loma Linda and just got taken out. He has heart failure and kidney failure, and then my mom just has a collapsed lung. I'm the only one, and it hasn't been going. So I'm really going through it right now, but I've taken it as a sign, like, you know, when things get harder, it's when I have to seek God the most. Mm. And that's when he's there the most, even though when I don't see him and I don't hear him, I know he's there. And he's my strength, and he'll continue to be my strength as I go. So amen. Thank you for listening to me, and sorry, I get nervous.
You did so great.
Thank you.
Thank you, friend Sally. I'm going to call my friend Aubrielle up. But before Aubrielle comes up, come on up. Francelli and I bonded because I don't know if a lot of you guys know, but I was born with hearing loss. So I wear hearing aids, and I'm actually going to speak on it next week when we start a new series called Thin Spaces, where it's about prayer. So if you are interested to know more, just wait. It's going to come next week. But this is my friend Aubrielle, and she and I are doing Bible studies, and this amazing, bright woman is going to get baptized next Saturday. So we're really excited about that. And I invited her to come up and just share 1 to 2 minutes of where have you seen God working in your life, or how do you know that God is working in your life?
Hi. I know that God has been working in my life because a couple years ago, I'm a senior in high school right now, but when I was in sophomore year, like I felt really like I had no energy to do like anything. I wouldn't get out of bed. I wouldn't even want to like hang out with my friends, which was like crazy because I always loved to go out whenever I had the chance because I have strict parents, but I never even wanted to. And so like I told my parents something's wrong. And so in sophomore year, I got diagnosed with depression. So like that, like, it was hard. I didn't really know what to do because not really, like, people in my family, it's like, oh, it's not real. Like, mental illnesses aren't real. Like, that's just how my family kind of approaches things like that. And so it was pretty hard. But then over the years, I started, like, making more friends and, like, building a support system. And this year, like, my current friend group are people who I met, like, the beginning of the school year, and like they've really like helped me and changed my life for the better. And one friend I've been blessed to introduce him to God, and I brought him to my last Bible study where he could meet Pastor Kelly and Pastor Phil here too, and he loved it and he wants to come to church with me now. And so like it just makes me really happy, and that God could pull me out of that. But also a couple days ago I was re-diagnosed with depression, but I have no doubt that God will pull me out again. So,
amen. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Aubrielle. Next, I'm going to invite Madeline. As she comes up, we have one more person. And then after that, we'll invite the band to come up. Yeah. So, Madeline.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. Where have you found God or known that God has been working in your life?
Mercy. Well, recently, God did something big for me. And I was just sitting there and I was like feeling the Holy Spirit like tug on my heart a bit, being like, you really should give this glory to God. This is the perfect time for that. So the last year, I'm a marriage and family therapy student here. And the last year I actually have been working at, bringing up mental health, it's perfect transition. I've been working with teens in crisis, for the past year. And it's been a beautiful experience in terms of being able to serve, in a clinical setting, to get my hours. But it, after a while, it started taking a toll on my own mental health, and I highly recommend every therapist even needs a therapist. Yeah, it's an ethical. Y'all need it. So if you're ever in a field of helping others, you also need a therapist so you can process through. Okay. Jesus in therapy is what I always tell people. But anyways, it's been a tough year, and I was always looking forward to this deadline of graduation, of being like, this is when I get out of here kind of thing. In terms of this one clinical site, we were low staffed. Everyone was burnt out, and I was traveling an hour to my clinical site, and I loved working with the kids. I genuinely did. It was not that. It was balancing school and balancing my own. I had just gotten married, learning to live with someone new, and not new. I mean, I'd been with him for 5 years. Love you, babe.
It's an adjustment.
It's an adjustment.
Yeah, it is.
But he was dealing with the effects of my baggage that I'd be bringing home. Hearing the worst of the worst every day. I would do group therapy with six teens at a time. And if you can think of the worst crisis ever, I probably heard it. And it was really a blessing to show up in those times. Then more recently, a month ago, I found out that my professors love them, but they were letting me know, like, your clinical site didn't really meet academic expectations. Mm. You probably won't graduate this quarter. You'd probably have to stick around maybe for an entire year to get the necessary classes. There's a whole bunch of things that I was like, I'm sorry, what? I did not choose the clinical site. They had a list of pre-approved sites, and they hired me. And so hearing about... thinking about all the trauma that I had really taken on and empathized, you know, when you're a people person and then an empath, you really, I would start dreaming about these kids, their trauma, their crisis. I would worry about them. I'd think about them. And so it was really taking a toll on my own mental health. Sabbath would be days where I just wouldn't go to church because I was so exhausted. So hearing that I probably wouldn't graduate was devastating, and I was struggling with starting to struggle with a little bit of depression myself, because I just felt like, when is the end of the road that I can move on into the next season of my next chapter? And recently, this week, I had something happen where God put, like, the requirement was I had to have a family session where, and get a recording. So if you can imagine asking someone, can I stick a camera in your face while you're talking to me about your crisis, like your worst, lowest of the low moment, and then having them sign the consent form, and then their parents signing the consent form. So basically the stars had to align, and it felt impossible because it was very hard to get signatures and to get people who willingly wanted to record these sessions, so for my final project, so that way I could graduate. All this being said, this last week I had my professor said, you know, if you don't have a patient who is willing to be the subject of your case presentation, that's it. Like, you're gonna have to wait a whole nother year to pass. You're going to fail one of your classes, which means you have to wait a whole nother year to take it again. Wow. So I basically had 1 week, and in comparison to an entire year of trying to find a patient who was willing, after that conversation with my professor, the next day I was surrendering to God, and I just had a moment of like, Lord, you're the one who called me to this field. Mm. If you called me, you're going to graduate me. Mm. And I stepped out in faith, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to live in anxiety or insecurity anymore. I'm going to say thank you in advance. Mm. And when I tell you, the next day, we had a new patient, and he said to me, I would like to have a family session and my mom is interested, and I know you're a student, and I know this is a teaching hospital, and this is a teen. And he said, you know, I don't mind being recorded.
Wow.
And so then I called his mom and asked about what her thoughts were. I didn't have my hopes up too much, but she said, you know, I have been so, yes, please, please, like, we need a family session. We don't mind being the subject of your case presentation. And when I tell you, just one day later, I then had confirmation that I'm going to be able to graduate in a few weeks. And when I say the Lord, I fell to my knees and I said, God, like, this really didn't have to happen. I mean, this wasn't the worst of the worst. I could have waited another year. But I just felt like God saw me even in the tiniest moment of distress. And it just reminded me that even though, and I was watching The Chosen one night, and I remember seeing Jesus serving, healing all day long, and then he would go to his tent purely exhausted, not talking to anyone. There was a moment where he just said, good night, and just fell asleep, so exhausted. And that really spoke to me, and I was like, Lord, you care about my exhaustion. Even when we're serving others in your name, you care. And I just felt like that was God saying, you know, I see you, and you're going to make it through. Mm. And you're going to continue to help others. And so anyways, that's just something I wanted to give glory to God. And in terms of academia, God's got you. Whatever his timing is, if he's called you to this field, he's going to get you through it. Mm. No matter what challenges you face, if you fail a test, if you fail a class, if you fail a year, like, God's going to get you through it. If he's called you, he's going to pull you through.
Amen. Thank you. And when are you graduating? When are you graduating?
June 9.
June 9. Thank you. All right. Annie, you'll be last. Hello, friend.
Hey. How's it going?
How are you?
It's a beautiful day to be alive.
Yeah.
Anybody else with me?
Yes.
Come on now.
Amen.
May not be a good day, or a great day, but any day above ground is a good day. So,
amen. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Some of you know me in the audience. My name is Rich, and I just was asking God, like, what do you want me to share? And I just want to say, I want to commend Praxis for not just doing like a sermon style thing, but to include testimonies, because the amazing thing about testimonies is that they serve as a huge source of encouragement. And that's what we're called to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. So keep doing that. That's amazing. I am not a student here. Actually, I travel as a full-time filmmaker and actually a mobile missionary of sorts. And one of the things I wanted to share is how God has worked in my life. I was a Seventh-day Adventist Christian from birth. I always say that I was a Seventh-day Adventist even in the womb, because my mom still went to church. But anyways, I want to talk about when I was about 27, no, actually, sorry, I was a little younger, 25. When I was about 25, I was at Southern, and I had a mentor that really changed my life. And so I hope that this testimony can change your life too. Now, I had said that I had grown up in the church, and the reason I mentioned that is because of a lot of us go through the motions, right? We go to church, we, you know, pray for people occasionally, you know, sometimes we pray for our food or whatever. You know, it doesn't have that depth to it. And this mentor in particular encouraged me to read my Bible, and that was something that I had, you know, the devil was speaking to me and saying the Bible's boring, you know, this, that, and the other, and just discouraging, you know, because he knows what power the Word of God has. And so the reason I bring this up is because he mentioned to me to read my Bible every day. And that was a point in my life where I maybe opened the Bible for, you know, the text every Sabbath or something like that, you know, up front or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'll read it at night. And my mentor said, no, Rich. He said, you don't know what is ahead of you every single day. You don't even know if you're going to live tonight, you know? And so he said, read it first thing in the morning. And so I made a decision that night, now probably 8 years ago, that I was going to either make God my priority or there was no reason of being a Christian at all. And because at the end of the day, God knows our heart. And you don't want God to, there's a very scary verse in the Bible, which I'm sure all of you have heard, and it's the verse that says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And in order to know someone, you have to spend time with them. You know, if I know Kelly, it's because I spend time with her, or, you know, I've seen her at Praxis events or something like that. And so I came up with this challenge that I love to give people because it truly changed my life. Number one, put God first. And I always say, if you want to change your life, put your Bible on your bed and keep it there. And here's why. Because you may not be reading the Bible right now, but there's going to come a day, and, you know, I always say like a month's time, where you're just really like, you got hit hard. You know, maybe you failed a test, or maybe, you know, you got dumped, or, you know, there's all kinds of trials and crises. And you're going to look over when you, like, you know, slump on your bed, because that's one of the most sacred places to us as humans, because it's a place that we rest. And we're supposed to rest in Jesus and his promises. And so in the same way, I say that, you know, when you do that, you're gonna have that day, you're going to read the Bible. And then I just always tell people, read the Bible, even if it's just one verse a day, meditate on that verse, see how it applies to your life that day. And so I just want to leave you with that encouragement. And by the way, fast forward to now, it took me 5 years from, you know, the time that I was 25 or whenever this mentor, you know, encouraged me. And I ended up reading the entire Bible from cover to cover. And so I still, to this day, read my Bible every day. And the other thing I like to tell people is, you know, like I said, we're all in this life together. We all have hard times. We all have good times and bad times, stuff like that. We're here to encourage each other. And so I tell people, you know, let's say my friend Matthew here, right? I can ask him, I could say, hey, bro, what's your word count? You know, and you can ask your friends to keep each other accountable. I call that the word count. So you give a number anywhere from one to seven out of seven. So like if I'm 7 out of 7, that means I read every single day. And that's a way that you can encourage and keep your peers accountable, because we're not called to just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and to instill it, hide the words of God in your heart. So I hope that's an encouragement. And if you ever see me around and you take me up on this challenge, please stop me and let me know how it's blessed your life.
Thank you, Rich. That is very enriching. I'm sure you've heard that one before. Annie, hello, friend. Thank you for joining us again back on stage. Hi.
Thank you.
Where have you seen God in your life or God working in your life?
So I think this last year has shown me so much about God, about who he is, about who he has been in my life. For those of you who don't know, I'm in my last year of medical school. Today was my last day of rotation. And next up is graduation. And I think that in the last year, God has shown himself in so many different ways, but most importantly, I think it was around this time last year that I had made the decision to be honest with God, to truly be honest with God in every single moment and every single emotion. And that included me being angry with God. That included me being sad. That included me telling him everything about my life and explaining, like, hey, I'm in this position. I'm angry at you. Like, I'm really not really sure where things are at. I was in kind of a low point trying to figure out why God had sent me to a certain place to basically be there for like 2 months. And I was like, Lord, I don't know why you want me here. And honestly, I'm upset. And I think that sparked something in me that God continued to prove and show himself that he was a safe person. and that he was someone that I could entrust everything to. And I think through that process, God has like kind of continually been showing me where he has been. And it's also given me the courage to almost like demand from God, which has been something that I never really expected to do. But I think there's a quote that says, you know, we don't ask enough from God. And I think this year when it started, especially in 2024, I was like, Lord, I want to be content. That's it. Like, I don't know, you know, I don't have the career right now, or like not sure where my future is going to lie. I'm not sure where like other things are going to go as far as relationships, but Lord, I want to be content. And I think that through that journey, God has been showing me like where he's been, and allowed me to have the ability to almost like see as if like he's been taking off my glasses or putting on glasses in some ways of like seeing where God has led in my life. Most importantly, I've had most recently, if you don't know, in fourth year, there's a match in which you, all the fourth year medical students do applications, you send them out, you do interviews, and then people rank, the programs rank you, and you rank the program. And the algorithm is supposed to match you to a program, and there are people who get dropped off by the wayside because of different things that happen. And I remember the night before match, like our results come out, and I was like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to have to up and move. I don't know if I'm going to have to, like, do anything. I don't know if, like, what my future is going to look like. As of right now, there's nothing. There's nothing that I can hold on to as far as, like, my future. And in that moment, I think God told me, like, you just need to praise. There's nothing else you need to do. You need to praise. And I remember, like, praising God through music, through worship, in my room, in the quiet of my room, just praising God and him telling me, do not fear. I have written your name in my book. Wow. Do not fear, because I know you by name. I have called you. And I think in that moment of realizing how powerful praise is, it's transformed everything. I think in every single moment I can praise God. I can praise God in my sad moments. I can praise God in my happy moments. I can praise God in the stillness. I can praise God in music. I can praise God just by existing. And I think that's been something that has been so powerful. And I'm so thankful for like 2024 and all the future things that God has ahead.
And where did you match to?
Here at Loma Linda.
Her number one choice. Thank you so much for sharing. And friend, that was such a perfect way to end tonight. And thank you for every single person who came. Can we give a big round of applause for all the people who came up here, who shared their stories, who were vulnerable? And I know so many of you want to share more. And so what we're going to do, if you have Instagram, we're going to post, where have you seen God in your life? And allow you to answer so we can share that to our community. We want to hear your stories. And I'm so thankful for this community that we can walk together, to be able to share and to be vulnerable. And sometimes it's scary to hold on to these things that you know is burdening you. But God calls us to be a light. And not only a light in the spaces that we walk into, but the light of friendships, the light of family members, and the light of like-minded believers, that you can all walk together and to know that this community is here to walk with you. And we're so thankful for the band to come up now as we, as Annie said, we're going to praise together, all voices together, to worship and to praise God. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Hey, I'm so glad that you listened to the Night Church podcast sermon today. I know that God is going to do great things in your life. Whatever you felt and heard from the Lord through this sermon, I hope that you would share this with someone that you love and care about, and that you would consider even joining us one Friday evening. Blessings to you, and hope you get to listen to the next one coming up soon.